think of an object, the sermon would be around this magnifying glass. And Johnny's just got some pictures of things that have been magnified. The first one is this flower. Does anybody know what this flower is?
Pansy.
Pardon?
Pansy.
Pansy. No, similar actually, but a bit smaller. Yeah, forget-me-not. Yeah, so forget-me-not, magnified. And then the next one. Does anybody know what that is? Johnny thinks it looks a bit dodgy, that picture. Pardon? No.
Is it a shell?
Shell? No. Pardon? No. It's when you go in the shower?
Bubbles.
Bubbles, yeah. So magnified, I think it might be 300 times, quite a lot of times. Yeah. So often our image of God is too small, and we need to magnify God and see him as he really is. And not that we're making him bigger, like these pictures have been made bigger, but we're just magnifying him and seeing him as he really is, a great big powerful God. And the word magnify, it means in Greek, some megaluno, I don't know if that's right, but that means to make or declare great. And it comes from also the root word of it, M-A-G-N, is a Latin, and that means great. That's where we get magnificent and magnitude, magna carta, all those kind of words. And what Louisa read about Mary, and my soul magnifies the Lord, and that comes from that is often called the Magnificat. If you're from a Catholic background, that was often what they sing in the Catholic creed, and my soul magnifies the Lord. And often we need to magnify God, we need to see him as he really is. And I was just thinking, often in our lives we get a bigger picture of God at certain times, that things happen to us. And I can remember when, probably about 10 years ago now, or maybe, no, probably more, and I felt God wanted me to give up my job and work for Teen Challenge. And it was a really big thing, because it was like to work voluntary, and it was like, well, where's the money going to come from, and everything. But God showed me that it was a big, really big God, and he provided all the money that I needed. And I remember once needing about £300, £400, something like that. And one day I got this letter to say I'd had a car accident a few years before, and it asked me if I'd had any whiplash or anything. And I was thinking, well, no, I was fine. And then I thought, oh, I did have a little bit of whiplash. So I just wrote this down in this form. And then a few years later, I got this letter, and it said that they were going to give me £400 for the whiplash. And it was like, I just saw God's amazing provision, that amount of money was exactly what I was needing. And during the time I worked for Teen Challenge, I really saw a big God. I saw God bigger than what I've ever seen him before. As you know, Teen Challenge, God just does amazing things, and so quickly as well. The girls can pray and God can set them free and from drug addiction. And if you don't know, Teen Challenge works with people with drug addictions and alcohol problems. And similarly as well, when I 8 years ago, I came back from China, and I worked in China for a few years. And when I was going to China, I went to teach English and with a Christian organisation. And again, I needed quite a lot of money, because that was voluntary as well, or you got a small wage there. And I needed, I think it was £1,500. And at the time, the minister of the church, Karen and Dave, Karen went to speak at a women's meeting, Women's Institute meeting, I think, something not really relevant to China, but she sort of shared a story about me being in China, and there was a gentleman came up at the end, a gentleman, not a woman, it was a Women's Institute, and there's a gentleman there, and he was doing the OHP, and he came up and he said, I'd like to write the girl a check that you're talking about. And he wrote me a check for £1,500, and it was like, gosh, wow, you know, I just really saw God, he's a big God. And, you know, we often lose sight of that he is a big God. And so what I've been mulling over, I've been looking over Mary, which was the first reading, and Hannah, which was the second reading, and just seeing what we can learn. They were two people who knew how to magnify God. They knew how big God was and what God had done for them in their lives. And Mary, in the first reading, she said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Saviour, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, all generations will call me blessed." And similarly, the song of Hannah was very similar. What I found interesting was that song started with, "My heart rejoices in the Lord, and my mouth boasts of my enemies." And they were just so very similar. And it said sometimes that the song of Hannah is sometimes called the Magnificat of the Old Testament, and Mary is the Magnificat of the New Testament, which I just thought was quite interesting. And so the reason why Mary, you know the story behind Mary. She was told that she was going to have a baby. And first of all, she was shocked. But then she just said, "Well, Lord, be it done to me as you wish." She surrendered to what God was wanting for her life. And living a life of magnifying God means to come humbly before God. Mary and Hannah, they were both marked with humility. Their lives were very humble before God. And Mary, in Luke 1:48, says, "For he has regarded the state of his maidservant." And yeah, Mary was very humble. She was a young girl, wasn't she, a teenager? So she just surrendered to what God wanted for her life. And Hannah came in humility as well, pouring out her heart to God, and came in brokenness as well. And humility and brokenness are often linked together. And so God wants us to come humbly to him and to wants a total dependence on him. It's not that no longer I that liveth, but Christ that lives in us. And in John the Baptist said, "He must increase and I must decrease." And that's magnifying God, isn't it? We decrease, but God increases. It's not that we hold the magnifying glass up to it. We could magnify problems, but we're to magnify God and put the magnifying glass on God and look to him, his greatness. And this is what Hannah did as well. Hannah said, "My horn is exalted in the Lord." And I thought, that's quite strange. What does that mean, "my horn is exalted in the Lord"? And that meant that to be delivered from a position of disgrace to a place of strength and honour. And because Hannah was barren, and in those days to be barren was a disgrace, wasn't it? People despised people who were barren. And also she was married to somebody, and his other wife had given birth to children. So she would have felt very low, very broken. And but God exalted her. And then she sang the song and magnified God for his greatness and his deliverance. And it's often in desperate situations that we need to magnify God, or when we're coming through those situations as well, giving him praise for delivering our answer to the answer to prayer. And so the first thing that Mary and Hannah had in common then was they both came humbly before God. And the second thing they had in common was their faith. Mary had great faith, and like when she said, "I'm the Lord's servant, may it be to me as you have said," in Luke 1:38. And Hannah as well, 1 Samuel 1:18, she said, "May your servant find favour in your eyes." And so Hannah was going to the temple. She was crying because she was distressed that she wasn't able to have children. And then when she met Eli and the priest there, and he said, "You know, you will, God will answer your prayer. What you've asked for him, what you've asked of him, God will answer." Because every regularly she went crying out to God to have a baby, and Eli said that God will grant your answer to your prayer. And she went away, ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. So I think that symbolised that she come through the point of brokenness, coming into a point of faith and trusting in God, that she went away. And then later on she had the baby, as you know. So that was faith, coming humbly before God and having faith. And another thing that both Mary and Hannah did, kept their eyes on Jesus and the promise. And the promise of that Mary would give birth to the Messiah. and that Hannah would also give birth. And we need to keep our eyes on Jesus and the promise that he's given us for our lives. So that was the three things they've got in common. And then I was just sort of mulling about how do we magnify God. And there's lots of verses on magnify. I mean, sometimes it's rejoice, sometimes it's magnify and glorify. But in Psalm 34, verse 3, David said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together." Scripture is one way we magnify God, by meditating on scripture and of what God's done for us. And quoting, speaking out scriptures as well, not just reading them, like meditating on them and speaking them out, like John is always encouraging us to do, isn't it? And thinking about the ones, like powerful ones, "I'm a new creation, and with God nothing is impossible. I am the God that healeth thee." And by thinking about these, we're magnifying God, we're seeing him as the great big God that he is. By speaking in tongues as well, in Acts 10:46, "For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." That was the Gentiles and Paul speaking there. And so, in summary, no matter what the circumstances that we are going through, even if they're desperate circumstances, that we can hold up a magnifying glass and to remind ourselves that we have a great big God who's on our side, and that he will keep his promise and will fulfil the word that he's spoken to us. Okay. Amen.